Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello, it's Thursday the 19th of July. You are listening to Africa Link, coming to you from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. We are also live on our Facebook page at DW Africa. So please engage with us on the stories we'll be covering.
Coming up,
Nigerian police arrest 22 Boko Haram commanders as the country continues to battle with floods that have so far killed at least 50 people.
We desperately need support. We hardly have anything. I had 22 children, and now one of them is simply no longer here.
We pray that we can settle somewhere else. We can't go back anymore.
Democratic Republic of Congo President Joseph Kabila gives a rare public address in Parliament, but fails to confirm if he will be in the ballot in the December general elections.
Le cadre des troisièmes consultations électorales fixé en décembre prochain.
We fully intend to hold the next election in December. There can be no doubt about our commitment to respect the Constitution.
À respecter la Constitution demeure lui aussi non équivoque.
We will also hear what our Cameroonian listeners think about China's move to invest millions in the country's military.
For sure, Jane, we have that and much more. But first, we hear what has been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. Senegal has sentenced 13 people to prison for attempting to allegedly establish a jihadist cell modeled after the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram, which has been fighting for 9 years to establish an Islamic caliphate in northern Nigeria. About 30 people, including 3 women, were put on trial for their suspected involvement with Boko Haram. A Dakar court handed the alleged leader of the jihadist Senegal cell a 20-year term with forced labor. 3 other defendants were sentenced to 15 years in jail with forced labor. 6 were given 10-year terms, and 3 people were given 5-year sentences. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, President Joseph Kabila has addressed parliament days before candidates are allowed to register for a long-delayed presidential election. The president has yet to state his intentions clearly, sparking media frenzy over whether he will register his candidacy. President Kabila refused to leave power after his 2-term mandate expired in 2016. In Eritrea, government troops have withdrawn from the heavily militarized border with Ethiopia, according to Eritrea's pro-government press. And Ethiopia has appointed its first ambassador to Eritrea in 2 decades, marking another historic step towards peace after Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed and Eritrea's President Isaias Afwerki signed an agreement earlier this month to end 2 decades of hostilities between the Horn of African neighbors. According to reports, Redwan Hussein will become Addis Ababa's representative in Asmara. Hussein was formerly Ethiopia's ambassador to Ireland. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Cameroon said 4 soldiers have been arrested on suspicion of shooting dead 2 women and 2 children in the country's north, where the military has been battling the Nigerian militant group Boko Haram. The incident was captured on camera some 4 years ago, according to military sources, and released online last week on Twitter. The video, which was dubbed as fake news by a Cameroonian government spokesperson, generated thousands of views and provoked an international outcry. Syrian state media have reported that more than 7,000 people have been evacuated from 2 villages in the country's northwest, which had been controlled by rebels for 3 years. In exchange, the Syrian government is expected to release a number of detained insurgents. It is one of the largest evacuations during Syria's 7-year bloody civil war. And finally, South African economist Anne Pettifor has been awarded a major German prize, winning the Hannah Arendt Prize for Political Thought. Pettifor is a critic of the political and societal impact of the global financial industry. She'll be awarded 10,000 euros at a ceremony in the North German city of Bremen in December. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You're listening to DW's Africa Link program. My name is Jane Nyinge.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. A warm welcome to our listeners on Facebook, DW Africa, including one Guy Dimbwe. Keep on commenting and giving us your comments.
Absolutely. Now, as you earlier heard in the news, Nigerian police have arrested 22 Boko Haram commanders responsible for the kidnapping of the Chibok girls and over 50 suicide bombings within Maiduguri and Adamawa State. In the latest attack, Boko Haram fighters killed six traders when they ambushed a convoy of lorries and a military escort in northeast part of the country.
The killings come in as the country is battling with floods that have killed at least 50 people. DW's Adrian Krish visited Jibia town in northern Nigeria, one of the areas that have been severely affected by the torrential rains.
Amidst the rubble of his house, Ibrahim Elbi is trying to find things that might still hold some value. Parts of the roof, a couple of old nails. The truck driver didn't just lose material things in the flood, he also lost his daughter Musina.
The water was up to her neck and kept rising. She looked over at her mother and said, "Please forgive me." Then she went under, and part of the building collapsed on her. I really don't know what I should say. I had 22 children, and now one of them is simply no longer here. She was only just starting grade 6.
People here say the rainy season has dramatically changed in the past few years. Rainfall has become more irregular and much more intense. No one here doubts that climate change is real. The country's drainage system has made the situation worse. The drains are too small to handle the amount of rain, and some are clogged with garbage. The state's environment commissioner is responsible for flood control, but doesn't want to take responsibility.
Even before this flood, we embark on some suggestion to our people that they should avoid building any structure in the waterways. We are on it, and so many people, we have started seeing a very good result.
That's it. So are you saying that most of the structures that we are seeing here are illegal structures?
Yeah, to some extent. They are illegal.
But isn't it your job then to follow up and make sure people are not settling in this place then?
Of course, of course.
So why didn't that happen before the flood?
As I told you, most of these houses are here for more than 40 years. They're here for more than 40 years. That's why I said it's natural disaster. It's something that they never expected.
For now, a school is being used to house some 1,500 people who have lost everything.
We desperately need support. We hardly have anything. We can't just move and build again. Only God can still help us. Our fate is in our hands.
We pray that we can settle somewhere else. We can't go back anymore. Those types of downpours could return at any time.
Elbi says that government representatives have promised him and other flood victims new housing. But when and where that will be is still unclear.
Adrian Krish reporting from Jibia town in northern Nigeria. And Zippy, what are people saying on our Facebook page?
Of course, we did ask, do you think Buhari's government is doing enough to tackle the problem? And of course, many people think the government is not doing enough. For example, Justice Tum says, Buhari's government promised to fight corruption. Any other challenge the country is facing, Buhari's government is not concerned.
Thank you so much, Justice, for that comment. And Techa Cho says they need to organize community work to dig the drainage and load the earth in bags, which should be used to line the drainage walls to prevent further erosion by water.
Viva Dalinso actually agrees with that and says more tunnel and drainage system should be put in place mostly in the rural communities. I think it will help. I also think that could help, actually.
So keep those comments flowing on our Facebook page at DW Africa.
And now we head to Israel, where the parliament has today passed a controversial law that defines the country as a nation state of the Jewish people, fueling anger among its Arab minority. The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, called its passage a historic moment in the history of Zionism and the history of the state of Israel.
The law, called a nation state, says that Jews have a unique right to national self-determination and puts Hebrew above Arabic as the official language. Akiva Elder, a political commentator from Israel, tells us what the new law means for the Arabs minority.
Actually, it is a formal or a legal definition of the current situation in Israel, the reality. The majority of the Israeli Jews don't speak Arabic in school, and it tells them that they are now officially second-degree citizens of Israel, that Israel is a Jewish state, and if you're not Jewish, you are not part of this state. The argument of the supporters, the proponents of the supporters of this law, is that if you are German, okay, you live in Germany, Germany is the state of the Germans. And Israel is not only the state of the Israelis, it's the state of the Jews. And according to the Israeli law, every Jew who lives in New York or in Berlin can move tomorrow to Israel and become an Israeli and will be entitled to vote. But this is treating this like, you know, a bull in a China store.
That is Akiva Eldar. He's also an author and columnist for the Al Monitor, an online newspaper based in Washington.
Now to other news, and Democratic Republic of Congo's parliament has passed a law expanding financial privileges for former presidents, a move seen as an incentive for President Joseph Kabila to step down following an election in December. Kabila is barred by constitutional term limits from seeking a third term in the election, but has so far refused to publicly rule out a run. During a rare public address to the nation in parliament today, President Kabila did not give details of running for a third term, but stated the constitution will be respected.
Le cadre des troisième consultation électorale fixé en décembre prochain.
We fully intend to hold the next election in December. There can be no doubt about our commitment to respect the constitution.
À respecter la constitution demeure lui aussi non équivoque.
That is President Joseph Kabila, and he did not state if he will be in the ballot come December elections.
And of course, Jane, as we know, the deadline for candidates to declare they will participate in the general elections is in just under 3 weeks. President Kabila was due to leave office after an election in November 2016, but the vote has been repeatedly delayed, sparking a series of violent protests in which security forces have killed dozens of people.
So we will keep an eye on that story, and we will give you the story. We will be able to tell you what goes on in DR Congo.
And of course, there's the other topic where people have been talking about, that is in Cameroon, where China donated 6.86 million euros to Cameroon's army to boost its peacekeeping and security operations. But you ask, but why would China invest in Cameroon's military? Do you smell something fishy?
Oh. And we got a lot of responses. Ifene Sila says, if the West sincerely want to solve the problems in Cameroon and Nigeria, they should call the UN to conduct a referendum in both countries. That alone will bring sanity and address other unseen things.
Sophia Heritage actually says the West and China are the principal culprit stealing the resources of English Cameroon and Bazonia, using the corrupt state of French Cameroon as a conduit. So many allegations on this topic, of course. Yung and Jung also says our worst enemies in Cameroon are big businesses and the greed game. The West and the China are involved.
Interesting. And Ogene Otega says China is another serious problem to our motherland.
And, of course, one last one here from Egu Godwin, who says China must be blind not to see the kind of human rights abuse by President Biya. And he continues to say that is why fake things are actually coming to the country from China.
So keep those comments flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa. You're listening to Africa Link program coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. My name is Jen Nyinge.
With me, Zipporah Nyambura. And of course, a warm welcome to our Facebook listeners. I have to mention some of your names. William Petch, Ngama Kui, also talking about what we were just talking about, China, and Anthony Johan. Welcome to the program.
So also comment on the stories that we are covering. So coming up in the next 15 minutes, Zimbabwe LGBTI community wants their security assured ahead of the presidential vote.
The trans woman went to register and she was kept by the polling agents for over half an hour, close to an hour, while they tried to verify why she looked different to what her gender identity documents are actually saying.
Make sure you don't miss out on that. We'll also get to hear about an app, Anasa the Teacher, which is getting popular among kids in Ghana.
But first, we head to Mali, which is gearing up for the general elections in 10 days amidst growing insecurity concerns, which has left hundreds killed since the beginning of the year. President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita, who is seeking a second term, will face off with arch-rival Soumaila Cisse and a dozen other candidates.
However, the volatile security situation caused by the ongoing attacks between Islamists and separatists is raising questions on the viability of the upcoming elections. The government has deployed at least 11,000 security forces to ensure voting takes place, but analysts believe authorities will struggle to effectively run the poll and provide oversight in all localities. Isaac Mugabe has more on the growing extremism in Mali.
On a busy day in the northern city of Gao, and amidst the hustling of locals who are going about their daily business, fears of violence and insecurity loom in the air. Here, not many are looking forward to the forthcoming elections. Since the beginning of this year, close to 300 people have been killed in communal violence, the majority of whom are women and children. The UN Human Rights and Division Protection has warned that things could get out of hand since communities have created militias who are carrying out the abuses, as explained by its director, Guillaume Njefa.
We are also witnesses at the same time, Pearl communities has also created a militia, which also responsible of targeted killings against Dogo and then Bambara as well. The main consequences of this violence across intercommunal lines is that many people have fled.
The UN now wants Malian authorities to investigate the alarming increase in rights violations by the militias, ensure the protection of civilians so that they can fully participate in the upcoming elections.
We try to address this frequency and then surge in violence, not only by sending, deploying missions, field missions to shed light into these events, but mostly to publish the findings of these reports, and then the findings of this report are shared with the authorities, and then the mission has been pushing the government to open criminal investigations to ensure that those militias, which are community-based, are held responsible.
5 years ago, a French military intervention was able to push back Al-Qaeda-linked fighters from their strongholds in the north, and security appeared to be improving. But presently, the situation has deteriorated despite the international community investing millions of dollars in Mali's government to secure the north, as these residents of Gao explain.
We will do anything to make sure the election goes well here in Kona, but in the neighboring villages, there is no security. We can't go there because of the insecurity, and we can't go there to help with security.
Yes, I want to vote, but I don't have an ID card, so I can't get my voting card. And without a voting card, we are not authorized to vote.
Ordinary Malians can only hope that the situation gets better before the elections on the 29th of this month.
Isaac Mugabe with that report.
Uzon.
For many parents in Africa, granting their kids access to mobile phones could be dangerous as they are unable to track what they use the gadgets for. Very little mobile apps combine fun with useful lessons tailored towards kids.
Now, Zippy, in Ghana, a group of young app developers have developed an app called Ananase. Isaac Kalechi in Accra reports on this initiative.
In the 17th year of the 17th band of the 17th king.
That's the sound that greets you when you open a mobile app called Anansi the Teacher. But it is not just any other app. It is developed with a Ghanaian folklore history to help young people improve and appreciate subjects like science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, otherwise known as STEM.
What is STEM?
STEM only means science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics.
Teach children. Everyone has to listen to me.
Anansi is a popular character in Ghanaian culture. He is considered witty and tricky, and stories about him excite many kids. The themes for the stories told by the app are funny, based on a system of gaming. Once you get hooked to the fun, you learn as well.
So Anansi the Teacher app, we dub it as a culture meets tech app. It's an app which leverages the power of storytelling using the folklore, our local stories.
Martin Bruce is one of the developers of this app. It's under a project called Young at Heart, targeting young children with interest in STEM subjects. Bruce explains how the app works.
So if you open the app, you are greeted with a very beautiful animation and catchy interest, because we know kids like pictures and like drawings. Now you navigate to an Anansi fan, which are stories. Once you click on a story, for the first paragraph, there is a voice in the background which helps you read. Once it's done reading the first paragraph, the child is left to read under the supervision of an adult.
Bruce and his team of volunteers occasionally tour schools to introduce the app to kids. He's also encouraging parents to engage their kids on phones, which makes learning of science and mathematics fun and easy.
These subjects are the ones that most children shy away from, mainly because of how they are taught or because of how it's presented to them.
The app now on Google Play Store has been downloaded over 1,000 times by users. So what do most parents think about kids using the app to learn?
Anansi the Teacher app is the best thing to keep children busy nowadays. They listen to the story from the beginning, they continue the reading. They read aloud, they even try to act it out.
We would have fun, learn moral lessons, and then also learn about science. And it's so interesting. Anansi the Teacher app has been a wonderful addition to my applications on phone.
Developing such a platform has been challenging. Bruce says lack of enough funding for such initiatives remains a setback. However, their motivation is high and even hope to extend to other African countries based on their theories of local heroes.
We are looking at developing various localized versions for different parts of Africa. Maybe there will be Temi the Teacher in Nigeria. There will probably be Zanzu or Zulu the King in South Africa. We are looking at connecting to the whole of Africa, teaching kids the fields of science, technology, engineering, arts and math in a very fun and engaging way.
Anansi had promised to teach children science, math, and all the beauty and the mystery.
In an era of technology, this initiative is set to encourage parents widen access to mobile applications for their kids. After all, learning can also be fun.
Teach the children science, maths, and all the beauty of his stories.
Isaac Kalechi with that report.
And Zippy, it's really interesting to hear how young people in Africa are coming up with great innovations.
Yeah, in fact, listening to those kids, they sound enthusiastic. I just wonder or wish it was there during our time.
I'm telling you.
Probably we'd had a one or more
So, absolutely. So, give us your thoughts, what you think about young people coming up with such innovative apps in Africa. Get to our Facebook page, that is DW Africa.
Speaking out.
Now, Zimbabwe's LGBTI community has appealed to the government, political parties and election management bodies to ensure safe spaces for its members to exercise their constitutional right to vote in the forthcoming July 30th general elections.
The lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and people have in the past been a target of systematic verbal and physical abuse during political campaigns. However, they have also reported a reduction in hate speech against their community during this year's election. From Harare, DW correspondent Privilege Mushaniri filed this report.
As Zimbabwe faces another election, hate speech against the LGBTI community is said to have reduced. But difficulties in full participation in electoral processes are still being reported. Rick Nathanson, a transgender and executive director of Trans Research Education, Advocates and Training in Zimbabwe, narrates some of the experiences.
The trans woman went to register and she was kept by the polling agents for over half an hour, close to an hour, while they tried to verify why she looks different to what her gender identity documents are actually saying. So by virtue of the fact that we're not reading anything in the newspapers or that nothing's been published, that does not mean that on the ground that the undercurrents are still not there.
The LGBTI community has put demands to political parties and government for all citizens to vote freely regardless of their sexual orientation and gender identity. Some political formations, including the ruling party ZANU-PF, have responded positively, says Chester Samba, the director of the Gays and Lesbians Association in Zimbabwe.
By the decline in the use of LGBTI individuals in campaigning, as characterized by past elections, you'd see that it almost became like an elections of gay candidates. But at the moment, we do not see that hate speech. We see a decline in the state being the perpetrator of most acts of harassment or violence on our communities. We see that decline.
Rights group Amnesty International has commended the prevailing political tolerance, as explained by Lloyd Kuvea, the Southern Africa region researcher.
There's always been a lot of intolerance from the previous government. And now the current political parties are saying, let us embrace them and let us show some tolerance. As Amnesty International, we are very happy about that, to see a marginalized community being brought into the broader group of society in Zimbabwe, as Zimbabweans, as human beings that have inherent human rights guaranteed in the Constitution.
The prevailing tolerance towards the LGBTI community will only be proved post Zimbabwe's 2018 general elections. Some feel the tolerance could be artificial, as politicians selfishly try to canvass for votes from the minority groups and show a glowing picture to the international community. Zimbabwe laws still criminalize what they define as unnatural sexual relationships between individuals. In 2006, these laws became even tougher.
Privilege Mushaniri reporting there in Zimbabwe. And as you've heard, Zimbabwe's homosexual community has appealed to the government to ensure safe spaces for community members to vote. And we posted this question on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Is that a difficult request to make if democracy is governed by the people?
Michael Wafula is actually asking, is there a need for gay polling stations?
That's a good one. And we have Roger Kemibala. So you can see this is what Western countries wanted for Africa.
So lots of attacks on that. Bangui Pekin says Mugabe will always be remembered for his decency and his faith and fear of God.
Thanks for that comment. And we have Makavuro Bravery. He says it's a bit complicated, but I don't think it's complicated. They only want safety. They just want to be sure when they get to the polling stations, they are not attacked.
Yeah, I think
it's not that they need a special polling stations. It's only safety. They just want to be safe.
Yeah, I think that's a right of every person. Like, you want to vote and you should have the safety and everything should be ensured that you can vote for your candidate.
Absolutely. And this one from Itoro Rock says, misplaced, misfit, wrong and immoral. I believe not in any homosexual agenda.
So that's your opinion, Itoro Orok. You're always free as well to give us your comments. I'm Zipora Nyambura.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. Thank you so, so much for your time.